Blog Talk Radio.
Bit of a late start tonight, family night tonight for me. I'm looking forward to being with you in just a few moments.
Thank y'all very much for listening to us. It's been a pleasure to play for you. Thank you so much. On the guitar and some of the vocals, Mr. Gintrow on the guitar and the vocals. On the bass and some of the vocals, Mr. Keith Mosley. On the drums, the apartment QC58, Mr. Jeff Sykes.
Welcome to Friday Night Specials with Diane Lenning. It's so nice to be with you. Let's bow our heads together in prayer as we open tonight and remember all our new Christian friends and loved ones around the world as we bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to connect with our Christian family around the world and to share the good news and to read the Word for those who maybe don't have it to read or have difficulty in reading. We just pray for each one, Lord, that you would bless bountifully each one of our Christian family members around the world, and that you would keep your hand of protection over them to keep them safe from all harm that the evil one would like to do, as we have learned when we prayed this last year, saying the Lord's Prayer. Lord, we know that you want good to come for us, and we know that we are in the midst of a spiritual struggle, indeed a battle around the world. We can feel it. People know there's something going on, and we believe it is a spiritual battle. And we know that God, you, our Heavenly Father, will win in the end, and that will be the best and good for all of us, because you represent all that is good and best for us, and the defeat of evil, of all that is bad for us. And we're so grateful and thankful for that. And we praise you, your name, Lord. We just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hello. Tonight we are reaching out especially to the continent of Africa and all of the Eastern Hemisphere. I'm hoping my friend is well and can call in from Africa. John interprets for us in Swahili. He was sick last time. Let's pray for John as we pray again in our prayers during the week. We do know that he has a heart for God and wants to share and share his talents so that others may come to know God and may benefit by the reading of the Word. Tonight we will continue in reading in the book of Revelation, and it is especially fitting in this end time when we are indeed seeing so much of it come to pass. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I read one of the chapters about a fulfillment that we had seen in the last year, and that was of the fourth of the world being taken over, and that it was basically handed over to them. It was, I believe, in the fourth seal. Yes, it was in the chapter 6. Remember, we read about, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell, or Hades, followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast, indeed the wild beast of the earth. I believe that's what happened this last year when those in power, including our own president, participated in handing over one-fourth of the world, as signified here by the pale horse, to give them opportunity to pursue death and hell and to kill with the sword, as we've been seeing happen, and with hunger and with death. But we also read that those who have the sign of the Lord on their forehead, death will pass over them. Just like in the days of Egypt when the Israelites were in bondage to the Egyptians, and part of what happened there was the angel of death passed over and killed all of the firstborn, but preserved and saved the firstborn of those Israelites who had painted their doorpost with the blood of a lamb. And so God is asking us to have a symbol on our forehead to represent that we are owned by God, that we are one of his children. Now, I don't know exactly what that symbol would be. I think a cross is nice. And the Catholics have just celebrated Ash Wednesday, in which some of them put an ash of a cross on their forehead. I don't happen to be Catholic, so I don't do that, but I certainly don't see anything wrong with it, because the Bible says those who are of God's family will be known unto the death angel that comes over. Now, you know the devil has angels too, and God has angels. And I believe as we speak that there is a heavenly battle between the angels of light and the angels of darkness. And it's not too difficult to see. If you look at the signs at what is happening in the earth around us. If any of you are on Facebook, you have probably seen the map that some people have posted about the black area of the earth, northern Africa into the Mideast and some of those countries, where it looks like the resurrection of the old Ottoman Empire. As a history teacher, I taught about that. Except for one lone little country in the middle, Israel, that God's hand is over. There will be a fulfillment of the scripture, and the focal point right now is that area of the world. But yet the battle, I believe, happens all around us between the spiritual beings, and we can call up God's angels to fight on our behalf and to protect our Christian family around the world. And we're going to do that a little later when we pray. Before we begin in reading in Revelation again, let's listen to a song and worship the Lord. Remember, if you do want to contact me, my email is diane@lenning.com, diane@lenning.com. Let's listen to How Great Is Our God. It is sung by Bethany Dillon, and you can order any of these songs online. Let's listen and worship the Lord. How great is our God. Praise the name of the Lord, by Bethany Dillon. And remember, I'll be back with you in a moment.
How great is our God.
Our God is great. And as I was alluding to before we went to the song, in chapter 7 of Revelation, it said, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." And the reason was, and it says in verse 3, is because He's saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Now, it looks to me, as we're going to read down here, that this is a promise to all the Israelites that God will preserve at least 144,000 of the children of Israel. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they all live in Israel, but they could. I don't know that I'm Jewish. I don't think I am, but my dad always kind of used to wish he were a Jew, I think, and claim that he was of the tribe of Benjamin because our last name was Benj, but I don't really know because we came from England in 1619 to Jamestown, Virginia, and as far as I know, we've always been Christians in America, but I don't know. Because as the tribes dispersed around the world, many went to England and Northern Europe, and some descendants of these tribes could be in other places other than Israel. So I don't really know. Or they could all be in Israel. But he says that hurt not the earth until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. There were 12,000 from each tribe, and there were 12 tribes, so that's 144,000. So that's a promise made in Revelation. And near the end, after the tribulation, we have some other promises that God gives. And I said unto him in verse 14, "Sir, my Lord, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." What an honor that would be, to be wearing a white robe at that time. "And therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among, spread his temple over them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and be their shepherd, and shall lead them into living fountains of water, indeed waters of life. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." What a glorious revelation this is of Saint John that he shared in Revelation. That was the end of chapter 7, and we are going to read chapter 8 in just a moment. I know my voice is a little bit harsh, it's my allergies, but I'm going to try to sing a little bit of Amazing Grace for you, and I'm hoping if you know it, you will sing along with me, and if you don't know it yet, please learn this one. It is a song that's over 200 years old, written by John Newton, who lived from 1725 to 1807, and it's a song loved by Christians all around the world. It has 6 verses. I'll sing a few. Amazing grace, How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Sing it with me. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I'll be back and sing some more of that later. I'm hoping next time I have a radio show, I'll have my organ hooked up. I'm getting it set up here and workable and usable here close to the radio. When we have some background with it, it will be especially nice. That is a famous old song, one of my favorites. I think you will come to love it as well. If you're listening live, you can call in. Toll-free number is 1-877-497-9937. Again, if you're listening live, you can call in and talk to me at 1-877-497-9937. If you do call in and talk, what we would like to hear is a word of encouragement about how a certain scripture has blessed you, or a prayer request that you'd like prayer for at the time we'll pray for you, or if you'd like to give us word, a good word, about how a prayer has been answered for you. So before we start singing chapter 8, let's listen to one more song. Let's listen to El Shaddai. It's written, or sung, I mean, by Amy Grant. And she's been in the Christian music field for over 30 years. El Shaddai, this is for all our Christian friends, but especially our Jewish friends and friends from Israel. It's kind of like the song you sing, but we all sing it together with you. Praise the Lord. El Shaddai.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Hamkana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the realm, you saved the son of Abraham. Through the power of your hand, turn the sea. Cast on her knees, Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Yona Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Ekonana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
Go quickly through chapter 8 because I know I have read it last time, but I'm reviewing and overlapping a bit, and I am hoping to get to chapter 9 tonight. So far, John is not called in, so we'll overlap, and I know each time you read this, you're going to see one more little part of it that opens up to you, and a little more light is shed on it, and a greater degree of understanding beholden to you. So let's look at chapter 8 now in Revelation. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a gold censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire, mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the earth was burnt up, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp or a torch, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel or eagle flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. O Lord, be with these people and that third part of the earth. Lord, and those who are Christians, help them to have the mark on their forehead that shows that it's really a seal, the seal on their forehead, that they are indeed one of the preserved. Lord, we pray for their lives and their protection, and for those who would be going through this tormentuous time. Lord, bless them and keep them, make them strong. Thank you, Jesus. For as someone from the country of the eagle, I'm saying, woe, 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 that which is yet to come is even more difficult. Lord, bless those who are Christians in that part of the world. And let those who are not Christians hear the word to have opportunity to receive you, Lord, as their personal Lord and Savior. Now we saw, as it were, it seems, a star fall from heaven a week or two ago down over Russia and that part of the earth that I believe this chapter is talking about, because the Mideast and the Eastern Hemisphere, I believe, is the focus of the Word of God here, of St. John the Divine's vision. For over in this region is where the Word of God will be fulfilled. And those of you who live over there are going to live in extremely difficult times. We are all thinking it may be difficult here soon in America as our current administration seeks to bring down America. But we know that God has a plan, and God will have his way, and God will win in the end. And those people will only be able to do so much as God allows. And that fulfills the scripture. So take heart. God has a plan, and if you're a Christian, he has a special part for you to play. And if you're one of the 144,000 over in that region who will have your forehead sealed, now may be the time. We don't even know. But it may be the time when some of you are becoming servants of God, and he's making that spiritual seal show in your forehead so that the death angels, when they come over, will not be able to harm you, but will preserve your lives. For he is, God that is preserving 12,000 of each one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Maybe you'd like to know those tribes. There's Judah, Reuben, Gad, Aser, Nephilim, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar. Also, there is Zebulun, tribe of Joseph, and the tribe of Benjamin. Praise the name of the Lord. And lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God. Stay with us. We're going to read in chapter 9 next. And let's listen to another song of worship and praising the name of the Lord. Let's listen to In Christ Alone, and this one's sung by Joanne Hogg. Praise the name of the Lord. In Christ alone we stand solid as a rock. Let's worship the Lord together.
Even the
We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise the name of the Lord. Worship together with me. Praise you, Lord, Almighty God, all-powerful, Prince of Peace. You are the Great One. There is no one greater than you. We love you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the next chapter, 9, is about the fifth angel that sounded. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, the pit of the abyss. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them with the seal in their forehead, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now, I'm not sure who is going to be the target of those scorpions. It doesn't sound like the ones with the seal in their forehead would be. Verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. I think it's all those who don't have the seal of God are going to suffer this. And shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. As we see here, so much symbolism and metaphors that God uses in his divination of the Revelation. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Polion. One, the first woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound at the river Euphrates. Now the river Euphrates we know flows through Iraq. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and hyacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now, regardless of whether this is symbolism or not, that denotes, I think everyone can understand, great pain, suffering, and death meted upon people in that part of the world, and it indicates it probably will be centered around Iraq, because that's where the Euphrates River is. Now, I don't know if that has already happened or if that is yet to come, because we know many deaths have occurred in Iraq in the last century. For their power, the power of the horses, is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So according to this chapter, we see that there is much pain and suffering meted out upon the third part of the world, and that many of those who suffered that torment still did not repent. They were murderers, they were sorcerers, they were fornicators and thieves. And all this pain and suffering still did not turn their heart around to think about what they were doing and to ask forgiveness and to receive God. Their hearts are hardened. And I know, we all know some people like this in the world today. Let's go on in the next chapter, 10. This one is about the angel with the book. And he sweareth by him that liveth forever, that time shall be no more. Verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. So here this angel is going to look like his face is the sun, and his feet is like fire, and his cloud is his clothing, and a rainbow arch I could just see upon his head. What a sight. No one has ever drawn that image before, I don't think. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. That's a pretty big being. They can put one foot on the earth and one on the sea and stand. And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So it seems that part we're not going to know, perhaps, until it happens. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. The end of time. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. as he hath, according to the good tidings which he declared to his servant the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go, and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples, and nations, and tongues, and kings. So apparently he's telling John the Divine to tell people about this vision that he has been given of the Lord. And then he also tells him to prophesy, to tell what's going to happen in the future. And that's what this book does. It tells us what is going to happen in the future and what has already happened. As we have seen this last year, some parts of chapter 6 have happened. And we've probably gone into now chapter 7. And I don't know necessarily that this is in order, but it seems to logically follow in order. And so in chapter 7, we're going to be seeing the 144,000 of God's servants sealed in the Lord, sealed in their forehead. And we're going to see, I don't know if we'll actually see what that would represent when the angel actually stands on the land and the sea, but I know right now, I feel like the stage has a presence in it that we're just all waiting for the next part of this to be played out. And maybe that's what we're in right now, this time of when God is sealing the foreheads of his servants. I know we have had many instances which could be interpreted as the locust and that kind of thing. And we've had a time when much of the sea has had animals die and some of the sea turn red. And so it could be that has occurred already, that it has not necessarily happened right by our shore. It has happened in other places. I know we had about a third of the life die in the Gulf in the last few years when the president refused to mop up the oil. All that seemed to have been a fulfillment of Scripture, didn't it? And there have been many other instances I've been reading about in the sea around the world that other people have witnessed. We indeed have had many earthquakes and tsunamis, and so we know that the end time is moving to and toward its fulfillment. Next time, we will read in chapter 11. We have about 20 chapters of Revelation. Let's see, I could look it up here for you to see. I think it's 20 or 22 chapters. I know it ended in 22 something. It might have been the 22nd verse. Yeah, it is Revelation 22. We do have 22 chapters. And we're about halfway through. And when we are through with the whole book, I plan to go back through and say some kind of recap. I don't know yet. I'm going to ask the Lord to help me to write that. More like a story, perhaps, that we can understand more in modern day language. I haven't written this yet, so please pray for me that I do that. It's just been quickened to my spirit right now as we're on the radio together, that there is a need for that, for more people to understand what Revelation means, because it is written on a very high education level of 12th grade or higher, and uses many literary techniques of symbolism and literal and symbolic meaning and talks in many ways that are of high literature and difficult to understand. And it's somewhat intended to be that way because God wanted us to understand it in His time. And the understanding sometimes comes when it happened, like in chapter 6. When that happened, it was just pretty obvious last year that that's what happened. And so we see the scripture coming to life and being fulfilled right before our eyes. We're going to play one more song, then we're going to come back and give those opportunity who would like to receive the Lord to ask Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Let's listen to "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High" as sung by Stuart Townsend. Let's worship together. Heaven to earth, and then from the earth to the cross to the grave, and the grave back to heaven, so that we can have eternal salvation. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And this is indeed a gift of God that all you have to do is receive it. And accept it. Just reach out with your heart and spirit and say, "I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior." For in John 1:2 it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." And John 3:3, Jesus said, "You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven." Romans 5:8, "But God proves his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, that means you and I, he saith unto us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." John 10:10, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly." If you'd like to step from darkness into light right now and start a new life as a Christian and be forgiven of your sins, please bow your heads and pray this prayer with me. Pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I am separated from you. I believe that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for my sins, and I receive your forgiveness. I am willing to turn from my way and go your way. Lord Jesus, I now invite you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I will follow and obey you, Lord, all the days of my life. And I pray that you will help me to understand the scripture and that the Holy Spirit will guide me and be with me. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, so much for those who have accepted the Lord right now and before, who have joined the family of God with all the rest of us who've gone before us and those all around the world. We are all a part of God's family, regardless of whether we're rich or poor, or what country we are from, or what language we speak, or what job we have, man or woman, adult or child. God, we are a child of the King. We are a part of God's family. We are royalty, in a sense, because we are children of God. Thank you, Lord, so much for this time together with my friends and their friends. I just pray, Lord, that you would help each one to share this with their friends so that others may come to know the Lord God and that they may learn English and that they may learn the scripture and to gain understanding of what it is to be a Christian. And they can find out more about being a Christian in the book of John. And we pray that you would help them not to have fear for the end time, as the book of Revelation speaks, for there is a reward in heaven greater for those who suffer, and they will and we will indeed rule and reign with Christ, and that God will rule and reign this earth again with Jesus Christ, and we will rule and reign with them here on earth when Satan is bound and the judgment occurs. The white throne judgment. Everyone will be judged, and those who go into heaven will be with God and the Lord, and those who go into hell will burn in the eternal lake of fire. Lord, we just pray that everyone will have an opportunity to hear the word and make a choice based upon knowledge of the scripture. We can't make them or demand that they become Christians, Lord. But we do pray that you will woo them unto you by your Spirit. Reveal yourself to them, Lord, that they will indeed be convinced that you are indeed the Holy One. We thank you and praise you for it. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Well, our show is coming to an end again, and I'm so glad to have been with you. This is Diane Linning, your host. I'm sorry that John wasn't able to call in again tonight. He was sick last week, and I'm praying for him and hope you will pray with John, too, that he becomes better. He has difficulty with an illness that comes back every so often. We know that God will touch him. We just pray for John right now, Lord, that you will heal him and touch him and help him to use those natural remedies that I've suggested and others have suggested, that natural foods and God's products that he's provided here on earth can indeed help our body to heal and recover from these ailments. Bless him, Lord. Bring him back next week to be able to interpret in Swahili. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Let's just listen to this for a minute as we close out the end of our show together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the time together. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all my friends around the world. Bless them and keep them. Protect them. In thy name. Remember, God loves you, and I love you. Until next time, this is Diane Linning, your host, from the United States of America. Good night. Bye-bye.